On this episode of Two Dudes, One Car, John and I sit down and talk about tournaments. My results today after my round two at Hawthorne's. So sit back and relax and enjoy this episode of Two Dudes, One Car. Well, here we are again in the wonderful world and wonderful state of Indiana, where now our weather is sporadic at best. It's May. It's my wonderful Labradoodle Bentley's birthday today. He was born on Cinco de Mayo. And what a good day it's been. Our weather seems to be turning, John, and it's fabulous to sit down and talk with you this evening, sir.
I appreciate it. Happy birthday to all the dogs that were born today, especially Steve's, and happy Cinco de Porto Day or Cinco de Mayo, whatever you guys want to call it. But yeah, glad to be here.
So, John, you got out on the golf course on a Friday? Give us a little recap of how things went.
Yeah, got to play Friday on the second with our buddy Tex Lawson and my other buddy Austin Carmack, both plus one handicaps. And we had a fourth join us, Jim, who said he was a 12, which was a lie. That came out to hurt us in the end, but we'll talk about that in more detail. Old man Jim was 65, said he had to play the yellows. Originally told us he was playing the blues, said we were going to play the yellows after we saw our three drives. First tee shot, piped one, nice little high draw. Down the bottom hill on one, I go, oh, you guys are F. Daddy is on it, right? Proceed to hit the second shot, a little short. About 15 yards below the hole in front of the green. Next shot, blade wedge over the green. And then we hit a little duff wedge short onto the fringe and proceed to make 8 from there. Then we go into the wonderful 160-yard par 3. Par 3, number 2. Since I was last at bat, per se, we had one guy hit it pin high. We had one guy hit it just short. One guy pull it left. So I just decided to hit it out of bounds off the tee with a nice little 7-iron, little 3/4 punch 7-iron. I thought was going to be a controlled shot that turned out to be shit. Re-tee, pushed it right because I'm not going to go out of bounds left, which is always a smart play, is overcorrect. Get on for 4 and then hit my putt for 5-4. So no harm, no foul. Then we go to the par 5-7. Drive one out of bounds on the right. Next one, decided at that point, the Tito's bottle was opened. Okay. After hole 2, right?
Understandable.
We are 6 over after 2 holes. Tito's came out and did a little dance with me. And then we immediately high-righted it like a tie kit, exit stage right. Decided to go with the 2-shot penalty, drop it in the middle of the fairway on your point of entry into the out-of-bounds area. So I went out about 250, dropped one. Needless to say, hit a second shot up there, got it on the green, 2-putt, got my double, moved out. Then the round changed. The Tito's started infiltrating the bloodstream. The music got probably 10 to 15 decibels louder. High, nice draw around on 4. Hit it to like 4 to 5 feet. Just overpowered the putt. Played it left edge. Went straight and then put it 2 feet past made par. Par 3, par. Par 4, par. Par 4, par. 8, hard par 4, par. 9, real tough shot. Hit a little nice duck hook around the trees. Hit on the left side of the fairway. Still blocked out. Got it up there. Close. 10, 15 feet par. Okay, I'm thinking game's back. Maybe he's back. Then we go to the back 9. And the old thin and chunk wedge game came around.
Hate to see it.
getting close to the green in two, blade one over, hit the next one either chunk short. I actually had a green side shot on 11, where I opened the blade all the way up and I go, I'm just trust the bounce. You know, this will just slide right underneath the ball, tight, little wet lie. Trust the bounce. Didn't even make it to the ball. The club stopped about a half inch in front of the ball in the muck. So that was a fun shot that counted as a stroke, and the ball did not progress anywhere. So needless to say, solid 86. Driver's feeling great. Irons are feeling pretty good. Putter feels good. If I miss the green, I'm gonna get an eight. If I hit the green in two and reg, I'm gonna either get a birdie or par. That's how my game is right now.
Yeah, I feel all that. You know, I went out there Sunday to Rock Hollow, posted on our social media about it.
Oh yeah.
It was
First
very
of
tough.
all,
Go ahead.
how were the golf attendants at Rock Hollow? Are they known for their staff?
They were wonderful. I made sure I, told them I knew I was in front of social media greatness. I keep spacing the golf pro's name out there. It's escaping me.
It's the old owner, the Bob or whatever, his old man Bob or old man Jim Bob.
He was not there. The
Okay.
golf pro there, the younger guy, he was absolutely phenomenal. Obviously, the girls were there. They were
Oh.
great and as attractive as ever. One of them picked a shirt out for me, which I purchased on demand.
Yep, I have to do that. Can't say no to her.
We go out. Weather was tough. It's
High of
cold.
what, 45?
No, it was
50?
41 degrees, but it real feel was about 31.
Okay, so it's even better.
It was cold. It was wet. It was not cart path only. That course really does drain really well, and the greens were, I'm gonna say it, they were phenomenal for the amount of it was. I could not process the fact that how fast they were rolling and adjust for the putts.
Yeah.
I struggled off the tee, not on the front. On the front, I was just completely just blasting the ball. I mean, I was out driving a lot of the people that were with me with my 3 wood.
Yeah.
My driver was fine. I got to the back nine and just I just was hitting it like I was hitting an iron, which is not good with the driver, obviously.
Yeah.
So
High
that
spin
wasn't
numbers,
that
though.
great.
You get the ball to stop with the driver when you hit it like an iron.
Right, you know. Then today, get out there to Hawthorns. I ended up I think a 91. I took a lot of risks just because the guy that was leading was in my group.
Oh, okay. Live
I think,
scoring, I take it then, probably.
yeah, he shot like an 81, but I just risked it all. I never played there before. I didn't realize the out of bounds was so close to the cart path, and there was a lot of spots where I didn't know what actual risk I was taking on some shots,
Yeah.
especially off the tee. But I still won a little over $100, I think, on skins.
Okay.
Everything was good. I was good off the tee. Like I said, I just took a lot of risks. I did post a video which took a little bit of time on Instagram for some reason in the Fishers area. I was having trouble with some internet connection. I did receive a message last night that said, "Hey, if you're gonna shoot 99, you really shouldn't mention your coach in your videos." And
Whoa, that's
I
kind of weird.
posted a little rebuttal about that because, and I know the person that sent it, there's a lot of some joking going on in there, but at the same time, I do feel like that's the world we live in. It's kind of like, oh, John, you won a tournament. What'd you shoot? It wasn't the fact that you won the tournament.
Yeah.
The fact that somebody wants
Yep,
to know what you
I was
shot.
low score of the day when it mattered,
Yeah,
right?
I won. What's it matter? I have the hardware. But you don't know what somebody's going through, and I get it. And some of it's just in joking, but it all depends on how somebody takes it. I thought that was a little odd, and I explained that to the person that sent it. I said, "Hey, I have been playing some of the worst golf I've ever played over the last whatever 7 months. to where I was ready to quit playing golf. And the fact that, I went to see Mr. Taylor Fletcher, we got it worked out. I'm definitely hitting the ball a lot better. I'm playing very well, but like today, I just, if you want to win, you're gonna have to take some risks. It was, it was like 10 shots, but I mean, I went after it as many times as I could where I felt like I could take the risk, and it is what it is. Got to risk it for the biscuit.
Hawthorns has some gettable holes. Like one, if you've never played there, right, it looks like you need to hit it out to the right because it's a little dog leg left. You got shit
Right.
water on the left. You got a lot more room on the left than you think of. Right can get you in the woods and you lose a ball, right?
Right.
So really, it's just take both sides of that out. Don't look at the hole. Just look down the center of the fairway, right? Another tough hole that always gets me out there is number 10, that little dog leg left next to the driving range, because you think you need a driver, you don't.
Right.
It's like grab your 180 to 220 club and just hit a straight shot straight down the gut. And then you don't have to worry about going too long right over the hill. Or trying to hook something and then you double cross it or whatever and pull it. And then there's a couple par fives that got water all down the left side, and you're like, oh shoot, like let's go on the right side. And then one hit off the cart path and you're gone on the right. So I definitely think it's a gettable course. And if you were probably look back at all the holes that you got a little risky, if you look back at it, you probably have been like, oh shit, I probably should have just did X, Y, or Z.
Oh,
And kept the ball in play. And it's like, that would have been a different game.
oh yeah. I literally, when after you drive up there, you're like, oh, I could have went over here, I could have went over there, and you're looking at the GPS, and the GPS are great, but you don't really see what how you don't see the out of bounds, you don't see really the hazards that are in play, and I did get a couple bad bounces, which wasn't a big deal. But like I said, I wanted to win. Either I'm first or I'm last. I'm Ricky Bobby when it comes to golf. And I mean, if you're gonna take the chance, it was my first tournament with Golf Week. And I figured, hey,
My concho's back, baby.
if I have a chance to win, what a story.
Who
If
won
I
that? Was that Shane? Did Shane win that one, or did Shane win? Was he in your flight, Shane Haskell?
No, he won the one at USAM, which was Sunday at Rock Hollow.
Rock Hollow.
He wasn't, I don't think he's in my flight,
Anyways,
but
regardless.
the it was, I mean, I'm happy I didn't go away, I won some money. That was cool.
Hit some good drives, hit some good irons.
Yeah, played pretty well. I did not start out that well. We started out on 15, which is a par three, and I commenced to make a six there.
I hate starting on a par three anywhere.
I know, just it just is what it is. You're raring to go, and I just hit a bad shot and then compounded, compile, compile, compile. And
It sounds like my eight on number one on Friday after a bomb a drive.
I was able to slowly start bringing it back. And I will say this about Hawthorns, that the greens, they use the grain well, and it's some of the pin locations were very I will say suspect positions,
Risque.
but they were tough. There were some tough reads there where I had a downhiller that I thought was going to be 9,000 miles an hour, but with the grain it stopped on the hill. So it's
It's a
other
fun
than that,
track.
I loved it. I love the course. I thought it was an outstanding course. I mean,
Cool
I really
layout.
liked it.
The range area is cool. And if you guys haven't been there, that's got a nice range. It has. In the summertime, I don't know if they had the burgers. Probably not. They probably didn't have the burger station since it's a Monday and it's their mowing day.
No, yeah, I know.
Well, they normally have a guy, a chef out there, or whatever you want to call him, guy out there grilling burgers and brats. So you can stop by right through on the turn, pick up a, and you got your own men's club locker room with a bar in it. So you can go there, grab a burger at the burger station, go in and grab your cocktails and run real fast, which is cool. And then there's poker table and, pool table in the men's locker room with TVs everywhere and showers and the whole nine yards. So it's a really cool setup. And the course is a good layout. I think it gets a lot of play. They have a lot of outings there in the summertime.
It's a surprising course in that it is a vast property. If you've never played it and you get out there, I was like, wow, I did not expect there to be this much room or this expansive of a layout.
Yeah, I
They
mean, it's
did
going through
have
that
they had a
whole
drink
neighborhood.
cart running, which was great.
Yeah, last year they had a African American woman in the cart when I played there. And if you're listening, African American cart lady, I loved everything I got from you. And I would definitely go back just to see you in case you're listening.
I really can't say enough. I mean, the people were great. They might have got upset because I parked in the members only parking lot, didn't see the sign.
Yeah, the little small parking lot to the right.
Yeah, but I was close to the clubhouse, worked out great. Nobody
Yeah.
said anything. I cannot say enough good things about the course, the practice area, the putting green, the chipping area, the driving range.
Yeah.
The carts were great. The one I will say this, one thing I thought was next level was the fact the other two guys in my group, a guy rolls up with the cart and says, "Hey, I'm going to swap you guys out. For some reason, your cart's only at 30%, and we don't want you to die on the course." And I said, "Dude, that's probably the coolest thing
I've never had that happen.
that I've seen when somebody's monitoring that and say, hey, and they catch you before your cart dies." I thought that's next
That's
level. I
next
thought that was
level.
awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I think they probably, anybody that has GPS carts and right can track the carts probably has the ability to track battery usage, I would assume. And if it's not turned on, that'd be a great feature for all the other courses to pay the little extra. Because I don't know how many times I've been in a cart. And you get on the back nine or the farthest hole away from the pro shop. Next thing you know, old girl's dead in the dirt, and you don't know what the heck you're gonna do. You're waiting there. You start take your clubs off, start walking, wait for the cart boy to come bring you another cart. So yeah, I would say that's top level. What do you think? You hit the ball pretty decent. You felt good, compressed some shots. What do you think you need to work on after your two tournament rounds that you played that would make you more content with yourself or something that you have a goal of getting better at right now? Is it one area? Is it just practice more? Or is it like for me, I know like Jeremy Allen, like I want to go out on the course and do a chipping lesson. I want to go green side. I want to go, 5 yards, 10 yards, 25 and then 50. And just do like a wedge clinic out there for like 2 hours.
I think mine comes down to just playing more, getting some more rounds under my belt. I thought my wedges and chipping were fine. I chipped some pretty close. I didn't miss a whole lot of greens. I think a lot of my issue, like I said, is not knowing those greens, and I played to what looked like were the slopes. I made some really great shots of playing the slope and getting the ball to roll back down. To be honest, I think it's all right now. It's kind of up in the air. It's just getting more rounds under my belt and playing. The back felt great today and Sunday, which was a
Good surprise.
bonus not having that. And like I told you, even that final round at Macklemore, I was playing great. I think it just all comes down to that. Just getting used to my distances have really come back, which I was really happy about. My
Happens when you hit the
sandwich.
middle of the face.
Yeah, well, my sandwich, I'm playing in that, if it's 115, I'm playing sandwich. If it's over 120, 125, I'm playing gap wedge, and so on and so forth. I mean, all my distances are slowly starting to come back, and I'm compressing my irons well, and I'm happy with that. And I had really good control over my driver, over my 3 wood, over my 5 wood when I needed it. I think a lot of it comes down to, like we've always said about my game, is taking a little bit more time when I come up to the shot. You know, some of them, and you're the same way. Some of them, you go up there, you know what you're going to do. I don't need a swing. I don't need to
I don't even
practice
need to
swing.
shoot it sometimes. If I feel it, I'm just going up there and hitting the fucker.
But there's other times where you need to look at it, take your time, set up, pick your target, and so on and so forth. Other than that, man, I mean, I'm really happy where everything's at. I just think it needs to be more time on the course, to be honest. There's nothing one way or the other that I'm upset about. That I my game really started coming together today at the back half of the round, and a lot of that's because you're getting used to the green speed, you understand the grain and how the course works. And like we said, you know, it's the tale of two 18s. If you were going to play a course you've never played for 18 holes and you play it again, you know, don't go left on seven or don't go right on six. It's
I'd say at least for me on average on new courses, the second round's always 4 to 6 shots better.
Oh, without a doubt, with no question.
And I would also say for me, and it's a testament of not enough warm up or getting loose or stretching, is the back nine. I'm always playing better. Typically, I would say 80% of the time I play better on the back nine. I'm getting through the ball. I'm doing full rotations. Most likely because my body's warmed up, and two is because I had a couple cocktails to help relieve some of that stress as well, the tension in the body. But it's just like I need to make adamant decision. You know, I rolled up there Friday with 5 minutes before our tee time. You know, we all
Oh,
rolled out of the car and jumped right in the cart and away you go. And it's like, and then how do you expect a good round of that? So I think for me, adamant stretching, warm up, at least give myself a full half hour to warm up and stretch. I need to do a wedge clinic with Jeremy. Really need to practice on wedges because it's like, man, if I could just get the ball on the green with my first chip, I could have saved probably 8 shots easy
yeah.
on Friday. You know, and that's just with the getting on and on three and two putt for bogey. And I would have got rid of those six doubles I had or seven doubles.
Yeah, and that's kind of what the Dan, the guy, I can't remember his last name, but Dan, the guy that actually won, I mean he had a couple chip-ins, which, you know, a lot of that is just the ball's got to roll your way, which that's hard to combat. He was really good with his wedge control, you know, put his self in a lot of those spots. Me and him even talked through some shots. I mean, if Dan's listening, I mean, I might have been 20 yards in front of him in the fairway, but you know, we had some conversations. I'm like, hey, you know, if you don't mind, what are you looking at here? You know, we had some spots where trees are in the way, and do you try to cut it into the green? And we were both of the same mindset, like, I'm just going to hit to the front, and if it cuts, it cuts. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So that was cool. But yeah, I like I said, man, it's really just time with the clubs in your hand and doing what you can. I think the bigger thing that I was thinking about was the message that I got the whole time, and I'm like, it's like, do you play golf? You know, have you ever been in a bad way? Like, we've talked about it before. You've had these problems with chipping before, and it's not fun. And it's in your head. It's just like the ball that's just in the fringe and maybe or just in the rough. And you know, it's 2-inch tall grass and everything's running away from you. And you know what comes in your mind is knifing that bastard across the green, because you know you just need to chunk and run one just on. And it's not something, it could be even worse with your putter because the grass is so tall.
Could get hung up.
And you know, if you never had those problems, good, great for you. But when you start mishitting and you can't stop and you're fighting that,
That's a tough place to be in.
dude, it's really hard to get through there, and I don't wish it on anybody.
No.
And It is what it is, and I commend you for going to Jeremy and saying, "Hey, I needed to get some, a wedge lesson." But the problem with when I start thinking about that, it's when you get these lessons, and it's helpful right then. But man, I tell you what, it's that big ball, which the earth is the big ball. If nobody knows, that big ball gets in your way a lot. If you move your head down. I read an interesting fact where somebody says if you drop down an eighth of an inch, you could potentially hit 6 inches behind the ball. So it's not an easy game.
Nope.
And when you're close to the green, and you've got say a 10-yard chip to the surface, and maybe it's elevated a few feet,
Yep.
and you're just worried about not knocking the guy out that's on the backside of the green, and you just want to just pop one up there, you decel, stub it, and it just happens.
Yeah. And it's crazy too, because like when I was a kid, I liked soft ground with plush grass, right? Now, today, I would prefer a hard ground because I can bounce the club into the ball on wedge shots, 30 yards and in. I'd
Right.
rather have it rock solid underneath me because I was like, I can hit off the mat. I know how to chip on the mat because I know how to bounce the club into the ball. So that's interesting.
I will tell you the one thing I found today that I do not like and that I seem to fall prey to several times was the fact that we left clean and placed everywhere. Obviously, we were cart path only at Hawthorns. But when I dropped my ball, if I got that fluffy lie and I had like 120 in, I am horrible at that shot. I was so high on the face because the ball's sitting up in the grass. So then you hit that high floaty shot that we all really hate, unless you're 70 yards from the green, is drops at a front pin. Man, I cannot tell you. I bet five times cost me just hitting it high on the face, and I shook my
Little
head and I'm like,
misses.
how do I not, why, how do I do this five times in a row and I don't realize that I'm getting ready to do it?
Yeah, it's called insanity, doing the same thing over and over, trying expecting the same results. We all fall prey to that.
Well, it's I hate to say it, but you don't really think about it. You kind of think about when it lies up a little bit, you're like, oh, this is great. Well, it's really not that great when you're at a wedge because you're going to hit so high on the face and the ball's going to obviously roll up a little bit more, and it's just going to be high and floaty. It's basically the same thing as hitting up on it for the
Yeah, you
most
just
part.
gotta. So, as Phil Mickelson says, when you get those flyers with a wedge on the 80-yard shots, 90-yard shots, just gotta toe it in a little bit. It'll make the club stand a little bit taller. So, when it does right up the face, get a little bit more of the club to work with.
Yeah, it was yeah, it got me a couple times, well, five times actually, to where I'm like, my God, the fifth time I did it, I'm like, man, do you need to tattoo this on the back of your hand?
Yep, just go up a club and swing smooth, grip down on it. I did see Billy Muff did send. Did you see the Circle City Classic come to Indianapolis, the 3-day tournament?
I did not.
So to all the listeners out there around Indy, Circle City Classics, June 20th through the 22nd. It's a two-man event. Friday's at Hickory Stick. It's a two-man net best ball match starting at 3 p.m. And then it moves over to Prairie View on Saturday. And you're going a two-man scramble match play. And then Sunday you go to TPC Indianapolis singles match starting at 1 o'clock. So there's singles matches, two-man, one best. I mean, well, individual match play, but there's you're
What
playing
is
as it as a team.
TPC Indianapolis?
I'm not sure. Never heard of that course.
Me neither. Do they mean Country Club of Indianapolis?
This is TPC Indianapolis. Not really sure what TPC is. I tried to figure that out, thinking of all the courses that started with a T around Indianapolis, and I haven't really thought of any.
What were the dates on that again?
It's the 20th through the 22nd of June. So it's a Friday through Sunday deal. Afternoon tea times, all 3 days. Fridays at 3, Saturdays at 3, and then Sundays at 1 o'clock. But I figured a lot of our guys in our golf group would probably be interested in something like that because they always, we like to do two main events in our groups. And then tomorrow I was supposed to go over to Firestone with one of my customers. Jet is supposed to be flying out at 7:15. Wheels were up out of the Indianapolis Executive Airport. Fly over to Firestone, go play 27 holes, and then fly back free. My customer is going to pay for it. There's eight of us. He's like, I got six guys that you need to meet that are like, in finance, or they work for banks, or they work for other property management development companies. And I'm like, man, this is awesome. My customer's taking me to this. I'm going to meet these, present. He's a president. I'm going to meet some of these other president CEO types and get some really good connections and learn a lot of life lessons. And good old, Akron, Ohio weather's real similar to Indiana weather, and supposed to be 50 degrees and rain off and on tomorrow. So they postponed it to like June 3rd, which is a little event I'm playing in called Barstool Classic. So I had to regretfully decline the offer of the reschedule.
I think I would have backed out of the Barstool Classic, but I understand.
I was thinking about that because I was like, I can go play free golf at Firestone for 27. Take the private jet over there, or I and get $750 back in my pocket, or I can. But I committed to this Barstool before I committed to this round at Firestone. So, he said, "Hey, I'm out there six, eight times a year. We'll get it going another time." So it's just a little disappointing. I already, called off for tomorrow, so. Sucks.
I feel bad for you. That's a yeah, that's one of those places you want to go play, and that's definitely not only just in golf, but that's a great way to make some connections
Yeah.
professionally.
It's just a way to travel. I mean, the whole of, you pull the car into the hangar, you get out, you pull your clubs out, you throw them on the plane, you l jump in the plane, you're there up in the air for a half hour. You touch down, you go play, 18, have lunch, go play a fun nine, and then, go to the locker room, jump in the shower, get cleaned up, and fly home. Home by 7:30.
You're also out of this Circle City Classic because don't you have something going on
Yeah, I
June?
am not in the Circle City Classic.
Aren't you going some? I forget. I'm sorry. I don't have your itinerary in front of me for the next
Yeah.
month.
Yeah, June 20th. Yeah, I'm also playing in the Hillview member guest.
That's what it is.
Yep.
Okay.
But it's still a great tournament for people. That's more of the reason I wanted to broadcast it. Billy asked me to play in it, and I was like, man, that would be fun. However, I
I am
can't.
not available.
And, it's tough for a lot of people to get 3 days in a row to go play golf, especially one of those being a Friday,
Right.
Luckily, it's at 3, so maybe some people can skirt out of work early, but yeah, there's just a lot of golf happening. So I think for me, just continue to hit the range. Irons feel good. I'm launching the ball so much higher this year and not losing any distance. If anything, I'm probably, I don't know. I wouldn't say I'm keeping up with techs anymore. But I would say I'm within 10 to 15 when I hit it good and he hits it good. Now, if he tries to go after one and absolutely smash one, I'm probably 30. But if I'm hitting my 90%, my stock powered shot, and he's hitting a stock shot, I'm only behind him 10 or 15. Which is getting the six irons, the seven irons out of my hand and putting in an eight to pitching wedge. As long as I don't go below 80 yards, I'm happy because I can still hit a full 60. You give me a wedge in the 40 to 60 range, I'm either knifing it, chunking it, or who knows what I'm doing, probably walking back to the cart and just saying, I'll put me down for an X on this one.
Well, that's the joys of golf. I don't know if you saw, I also posted on our social media that Any par three that's 160 or more yards plays over par on the PGA Tour. 3.32, I believe, is the actual number. So what are you mad at is what I posted, because we play with a lot of people that they get to that, oh well, this thing's only, I'm only 100 and whatever, 56 or 160 out, and then they get mad when they're 30 foot from the hole, they're in a bunker or left of the green, and it's like the professionals are playing this hole over par.
Yep, on average.
You really, and when's the last time you've seen a PGA Tour par three under, man, what, under 150? Have you, I mean, when's the, have, I'm
I
trying to
mean,
think
you got
of,
it at Pebble Beach. You got it at Torrey Pines. I mean, they're out there. They're just not very televised. I mean,
I
even
think
the
a
par three
little,
at the Masters is. Was that 16 at the Masters? What they played up the first couple days is under 150.
I think when they play it up, though, a lot of the times it's there's wind at the Masters, especially because where that, because of 16, how the wind swirls right there, it causes all kind of disruptions. Pebble Beach the same way, because you're dealing with sea air and you're dealing with obviously the wind. But still,
Yeah.
regardless, anything that's I mean, that's an amazing stat if people start thinking about that when you're playing golf, is that what expectation are you holding? You don't,
Yeah.
you're not out there every day. That's not your job. And I mean, Jesus, if you're a little short, whoops, big deal, right?
And no biggie.
That's it. I didn't, I, you know, it's, I wasn't, I just wanted, I like people to see that information if you don't look into any of the data and
Yeah. I
do
mean,
things.
just like anything with golf, right? They're like, you hit it from 170 and you're 12 feet out and you're like, oh man, I wish I would have hit that a little bit closer. I would have had a chance of birdie. It's like, well, you're gonna have to get it within inside 5 feet to have a pretty predominant chance of actually making the putt, you know?
Yeah, I think that is the, we, I really ought to bring all that up, and we ought to discuss that on our next podcast, the fact that I really, people really don't understand that percentage of make and how much that changes once you get outside of hell, 3 feet for that matter.
Yeah. I mean, I would say right now I'm draining a lot of putts in the 5 to 15 foot range. And when I say a lot, I'm making 4 to 6 of those putts around.
Yeah.
You know, and that's quite a bit. You know, I just feel a lot more confident now. You know, now that I got used to the lab feels familiar. I feel comfortable with it. I know how it's going to come off the club. I know my starting point and how I have to aim it. It just, you know, and most of those I'm hitting. If I would miss the hole, I'm probably going to be 2 to 3 foot past because I'm getting confident with the stroke and I'm just trusting the line and nailing them, right?
Yeah, and
So
I
it's
think that's I used to get really upset at sometimes on putts, but like today I I took some aggressive lines and had a few lip outs, burned some edges, but I wasn't upset about it because it's exactly where I was going.
Yep.
It doesn't, if you hit your mark, it's not a bad putt. If
Nope.
you, if you are, I mean, if you hit one and you think it's going to break 2 foot left and it goes 2 foot right, yeah, you have a little bit of an issue. That's a misread. But did
Yep.
it go
I do
on your
that for sure.
line? You know, it's,
Yeah.
are you taking, sometimes it's when you're playing to win, it's fine to take a, a calculated risk. Okay, this may go 4 foot past or whatever. If you're trying to protect, maybe you just try to roll up there and get a tap in, and that's fine too.
Yeah, playing for nothing wrong with playing for two putts.
No, but it's that, that's the point, is it, are you, if you're hitting your line, you were successful at what you were doing.
Maybe
If
that
you
would be a
missed
good
it,
trial next time we go play. For me and you, anything from 5 to 12 feet, our goal should be to put it, if we miss the putt, to put it 3 foot past the pin and see how many more putts we drop.
Yeah, but I think if you want to play a game to get better, it's that I tell you, whether I go stick a tee in the ground and say, "Hey, John, this is what I see the line is," and I stick a tee, this is my aiming point.
Yep.
If I hit that tee and the ball doesn't break, I still did what I said I was going to do. I hit a solid putt. I just misread the break.
Yep.
Which is fine. Does it? That's not, you know, that's learnable. You can understand what the slopes are, yada, yada, yada. But I think that's the bigger point is, you know, a lot of people get mad about their putting, and I'm like, well, what'd you aim at? Well, I was aiming right here. And I said, well, you hit that. Yeah, I know, but I missed the putt. I go, you didn't miss the putt. You misread what the putt was doing. You hit the putt you intended to hit.
Yep.
And it's,
you just got to get better at reading greens.
Yeah. And I think that's a lot. That's how we all are. That's our frustration builds, even though that we go out and let's say you have 115 yards out or whatever, you got your gap wedge out or whatever you got, and you're going to play 3-4 feet right of the pin, and you think the slope's going to take it down, and you hit it there and it bounces and runs out. It doesn't matter. You hit the spot you wanted to hit. The earth didn't react the way you thought it was going to react. It doesn't mean you hit a bad shot.
The only time you can ever get mad is if you're aiming at the pin with an iron in your hand and you hit the pin and it jumps in the water.
Or if you just pull it, you know, that's something that's on you.
Yeah.
But if you hit your target, you've successfully done what you were set out to do, but you can't control what the ball does when it lands.
Well, you could be able to, but.
Well, but I mean, that's a lot of the frustrations in golf is just, you know, you're like, oh,
hit bad shots, get good results, and hit good shots and get bad results. Just like life, right? As Mr. Hogan would say.
Oh no, that's like that Dan today hit a dead straight right ball that was going out of bounds and just hit the cart path edge just right, bounced it back in bounds.
Oh yeah,
that's golf.
That's golf.
That's just that's
feel bad,
just how
feel
it
bad
goes.
For his pro V1.
Yeah, but still in bounds, didn't lose a shot, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, John, I was I'm glad we jumped on here and kind of talked these things out. We got our little match, me, you, Tony, and Ty coming up here in a hell, man, few short days, honestly, on the 18th.
Yeah, still not this weekend, the following weekend.
Yep, still haven't heard from Bubba on his whether he can make it or what day we might want to make our match at Rock Hollow. Really want to run back at that course because if anybody out there has not played Rock Hollow, it is no longer a hidden gem. Hmm. Everybody knows how good that course is. Great people work there, but it's a fantastic course. If you haven't ever been, get up there and try it. It is 100% worth the drive. But other than that, John, you got anything else?
That's all I got, big dog.
Well, as always, everybody, like, follow, subscribe, message us, email us at twodudesonecarp@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Hit us up on YouTube. Like, follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Give us a high rating. That's what we need to get into these algorithms, which are so tough. But other than that, keep playing golf. Try not to get frustrated and enjoy the time out with your friends.
Yes, sir.
John, as always, I will talk to you later, bud.
All right, man.